when I've looked back on those moments. And I think that's something we can hold to, right? Even when the answer's no, right? And just being able to look back on it and know that He's with us, is with us, is the treasure. Hi, friends. I'm so glad you're joining us for another episode of the Grace Lace Podcast today. I'm Eve Stipes, and together with Ruth Jo Simons, we're working our way through a really special season of the podcast. In celebration of Ruth's new devotional, Pilgrim, 25 Ways God's Character Leads Us Onward, we've invited some of her dearest friends to join us for conversations about who God is and how He's met them on their own pilgrim journeys. You're in for such a treat today as we sit down to talk with singer-songwriter Christy Knuckles and hear about how she has experienced God as her provider. Christy began writing music and singing in the church at a young age as the daughter of a pastor in Oklahoma. She met musician Nathan Knuckles in 1993 at the Christian Artist Seminar in Estes Park, Colorado, and the two married in 1995. The couple went on to form the Christian music duo Watermark, touring nationwide and recording 5 acclaimed albums, including 7 number one radio singles from 1998 to 2005, before laying down their Watermark journey for the sake of their family. Through continued songwriting and worship leading alongside her husband for the Passion Movement, Christy's voice and heart can be heard on songs like Waiting Here for You, as well as songwriting featured on church anthems like Lord, I Need You and Healing Is in Your Hands. Christy now records for Keepers Branch Records, the couple's independent record label, where they've enjoyed releasing fan favorites like Be Held, Lullabies for the Beloved. Christy also launched a podcast in 2016 called The Glorious and the Mundane, which is intentionally focused on helping women in any season of life find the wonder and awe of God in the moments of the here and now. Christy and Nathan live in Franklin, Tennessee, where they love to gather around the farm table and even make music with their 3 children, Noah, Eliana, and Annie Rose. They also love to spend time making their home, affectionately called Keeper's Branch, a place of rest for all who gather there. So, get ready for today's conversation with Christy, and if you stick around to the end, you just might hear her sing a little. Let's get to it.
It is my joy to welcome Christy Knuckles to the podcast today. Christy, thank you so much for joining me and Eve. Oh, and we're so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be with you. Thank you.
Y'all, I'm sure Christy does not even need introduction, truly. But Christy, I've told you this multiple times, but you have been a dear part of my walk with Christ since the late 1990s. So obviously, you know that you've been in my ears and walking with me through my walk with Christ from the days of the Watermark days. And of course, I remember seeing you sing on stage at a Passion in 98. And so I absolutely have loved you a lot longer than we've been friends, but just know that it's my joy that we are actual friends these days, having gotten to be involved at If Gathering together, and then having worked on the Faithful Project together on writing and recording some music and just being of like heart. And I just have to say for all our listeners, in the world that's so connected online, Christy is that person who is the real deal and genuinely exactly who she is on screen, off screen, in an album, or around sipping tea or coffee. And Christy, I feel like, and I'm going to try not to be all teary and just cry about it at the top of this podcast, but I think whenever I get around you, I feel truly like cheered on in the deepest way that what we do really matters for the kingdom, because I see it in you, that I see in you this like authentic, genuine, like, hey, I'm willing to cut things out if it's not honoring to the Lord. I'm willing to live an authentic life. I can work quietly with my hands and with what the Lord's given me. And your presence has on more occasions than you know encouraged me deeply that I'm not alone and that I can be faithful right where I am. So I want to say thank you for all the years, long before you even knew me, all the years that you have been a huge part of my walk with the Lord. Eve, is that the same for you?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that the Watermark CD is maybe one of the CDs that I still own a physical copy of, because it just... brings back some. I was like, I can't part with it. I was going through a bunch the other day, and it's one of the few. So yeah, a long time listener, and so grateful for your work for sure.
Wow, thank you. Oh, y'all are gonna make me cry at the top.
Well, we're super honored to have you, and of course you. For you came to mind immediately when we thought about inviting special dear friends and guests to this particular season of the podcast, because all season long we're talking about how God's character leads us and shapes us on our pilgrim journey. We've talked about how as a pilgrim, this is not our home. We are walking through a land and through an era of time that just is never going to satisfy. It's never going to be home. We can try all we want to fluff up our pillows or remodel our homes or get just the right clothes, and we'll never feel at home here. And so I called my new devotional Pilgrim, 25 Ways God's Character Leads Us Onward, because I do think, and I know you're of like heart here, that when we know who God truly is, then everything else will fall into place, that we will actually know how to respond to him, how to walk with him. All our worries, it's not that the worries go away, but we know how to respond when life gives us twists and turns that we don't expect on our pilgrim journeys. And so, of course, for anyone who's been listening to this season, you know that the book also pairs each attribute or in a way that God operates and how he is with a hymn that teaches it. So, of course, Christy, you came to mind as somebody that I really wanted to talk to. But as I think about this topic today, we're talking about God, who is our provider. We're talking about this clear way in Scripture that we've seen him talk about himself. We've seen throughout Scripture him being described as the provider we truly need. I want to ask you, and I've heard you talk bits and pieces about this part of your story, but I've seen you live out the story in the last several years where there have been unexpected parts of your pilgrim journey. There are things that you did not see coming, suffering that was difficult, and even ways in which God turned the story around. So that's a big opener, but I just wanted to set the stage and say, Christy, I want to hear what that means, because you got a chance to say to me, you want to talk about God as provider. So I want to know what's the way you've seen him move as your provider?
Yeah. Well, I have to say, it's really sweet that y'all both brought up Watermark. I'm sitting here in one of my very best friends in the world. Her name's Megan. Actually, I think you've met Megan on the road with me before, Ruth, but, we don't have internet in our house at Keeper's Branch.
That's a lovely situation.
We truly do not have broadband internet. And so I come to Megan's house to do my podcast. I'm actually sitting in what she calls the morning room, but right across from me, I can literally see it, is the house that I recorded most of the Watermark albums in. I can see the basement where I would walk in, and I sang, probably on almost four of the five records, Watermark. And what's so sweet is I remember, talk about provider. I remember really when we moved back to Franklin, just praying that God would bring me a friend, someone in town. And of course I have a lot of friends here, but a lot of us are transient, right? We're going back and forth all the time, getting on planes I was just like, Lord, I want a friend that I can go to the local antique shop with. I just want to have someone that I really feel just grounded with, that I can sit with, and we can even just true community where you're just confessing things and you're, the Lord provided Megan, and I'm sitting in her morning room looking at the Watermark. We call it the Watermark house. But so sweet, to think that he's that detailed when we ask for something like a friendship, it's just that's how important that is. But also it felt like I haven't even really actually thought to just pray and ask if he would bring that. But I think about just maybe my pilgrim journey, and I think about, really getting to, I thought about just truly getting to travel and see the nations worship. I think about Nathan and I laugh. We've been on every continent except Antarctica, but last night I saw that you can actually you can take a cruise now to Antarctica. So maybe we should go to the
You're going.
Amazing. Go to all continents. But I say that to say that, you know, it's we've gotten to see the church alive all across the earth, and yeah. I'll never forget it. In fact, I think that that's made like a generational impact on me, in that like the way that I even just hold the gospel and the church so sacred even to this day, when even when I'm talking to my children, and I know that I'll tell my children's children,
but
getting to
you
know, see the nations worship all those things has been so incredible, that part of my pilgrim journey, I think, just even like going to a foreign land. But I'll say it, I haven't had to go any farther than my bedroom or my living room to actually like pilgrim to that sacred place where I've really known him as my provider. And that truly has been through hardship and suffering. And, you know, I know that a lot of you listening, you've been through that. You might even be sitting in a season now where you're walking through maybe the unimaginable or just a hard, hard season. And as I look back on those times, you know, I see so clearly now, I just get weepy even thinking about it, of just like what that actually afforded me, because it really did, you know, exposes our need, obviously, in those, you know, moments. Like for me, I experienced, you know, I can think all the way back to miscarriage. I can, you know, there's been several points in my journey where the Lord has shown himself as provider in that sort of place of just like, oh God, I need you. Like literally every hour I need you. Right. And that has been a lot through physical pain and hardship. And in 20, I think it was 2017, at the end of 2017, I was on a Christmas tour and I thought I had a double ear infection. And so I kind of didn't think anything of it. I didn't think this is dangerous. I was like, I'll kind of let the tour end. I was sick on the tour, just kind of like a, you know, normal, like cold.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, Christmas went by and I thought, okay, I'll go see an ENT after Christmas. And I went, you know, sometime the first week of January, and he's sitting there telling me like, you actually have what's called sensory neural hearing loss. Like, this is not like your, this is like your inner ear. This isn't like, this is like connected to like neurological stuff. And
so
I didn't even bring Nathan with me, because I just thought like, oh, I just have an ear infection, you know, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, I literally walked out to my car. It felt like I was just in slow motion. Like, I mean, that's hard news for anyone, but like as a singer, you know, I was just sitting there just like, I couldn't even really believe it. And I didn't know what to think. And that began, that was, in January. And really from January to May, I experienced just, it really is like, if I sit and think about just what was going on in my head and even like what I could hear in my ears, there was a point that I think, you know, that started out where everything was muffled. There was a point in the middle where literally like my husband and my son's voices would sound, robotic. Talk about
oh my
like
goodness, Christy, that just hurts my heart just hearing that.
Yes, like, you couldn't even I couldn't believe that what I was hearing was really happening. Literally, it was the there so like certain surreal. Tones. So the male voice was like a it's just like literally like you would like a robot. So you know, and just those moments of, I remember I would just in that season get in the bathtub because I could run the water and it would drown the tinnitus or tinnitus in my ears. It would drown the roaring and I would feel normal when I could just, when the rush of the water would just kind of like make all of that go away for a little bit. And I remember, you know, as I for whatever reason, it was the bathtub that just, I would sit and I would even like let some of the water drain so I could just rush the water again. But it was there that, you know, what came back to me the most were songs from the time I was little bitty all the way up to songs that I've even written that the Lord would bring back to me. And I thought about,
I love
you know, there's like certainly there's moments where, you know, even, you know, just those seasons of like sort of consolation when things are just, you know, kind of on the mountaintop, you think about sometimes our songs are written during those moments, but I was so aware of like, wow, these songs are actually written for the dark days, mm-hmm. and they come back, mm-hmm. you know, they come back to the memory and to the heart when you're just in desperate need.
Yeah, nothing else.
So yes.
In that particular time, I mean, I know you'll complete the story for us, but were you imagining that you'd never get your hearing back? Like what was the, mm-hmm. what was the prognosis at that point and stuff?
Yes. It was very bleak. The very first guy told me, he was like, he said, you've waited so long that your chances of recovery are really, really slim. And, so we just, but the way they talk about the Lord providing, oh my goodness. So just through a friend here in Nashville, who is sort of like an advocate for Vanderbilt, who kind of, she helps you get in with a specialist. I mean, you know, cause you have to really start from, you know, seeing your normal ENT, and they have to like, you know, to get into a specialist is like, it's like a part-time job, you know, and it made me just so like compassionate towards people who are dealing with illnesses and things where you have to literally just like advocate for yourself and like, you know, you're calling, you're emailing. And
so
yes, and a friend got me in with a specialist, and actually later we found out that he even thought that it was a different friend that was referring. And I mean, just
what?
The whole thing, only the Lord, it's only the Lord. I mean, and so, and even this specialist that Nathan drove me, it was a snow day here in Nashville. And we thought, we woke up and we were like, there's no way we're going to get to go. I mean, like the airport was shut down.
Yeah.
Oh, and he had spent the night there the night before because he had had some surgeries and he was stuck there. And he was like, I'm here. Come on. He was like, Christy, if you can make it, come.
That's crazy.
Yes. And so I believe, obviously, God is our healer, but I also believe that he can use doctors all the time. And I think it was so sweet, you know, even for this doctor to be able to kind of witness this story.
Yeah.
But basically, Ruth, he put a needle about this long. I mean, like,
oh my gosh,
maybe like a foot long into my eardrum. And Nathan like sat and watched it. And they basically,
oh my goodness, Nathan.
Yeah.
I can't believe he could watch that.
They actually did both ears. And he, cause I had been on some like meds, but like, they actually injected something. And we're again, he's just like, this is last ditch effort.
Oh,
you know, he's like,
so terrifying.
You waited so long. He was like, and I've learned actually, if you feel like you have muffled hearing, it's actually an emergency. Like you need to go immediately if you feel like you have any kind of weird
Tip
thing
of
happening
the day.
With your
so
hearing.
Good.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes.
Yes. And so, he sent me home and I couldn't hear even more after, you know, he had injected this stuff in, but just slowly, I think that was in March. And by May, I went in and had another hearing test and he came out. I'll never forget. He was waving in. He was like, I don't understand this, but you need to go home and have a party. He was like, your hearing is completely
Christy.
Recovered. I mean, he was like, people out there in the, you know, waiting room, he's like, they're waiting for implants. And he was like, I just don't ever see this. And so, you know, I'm able just to say like, well, I believe that God used you to help, you know, to heal. And so, it was,
I know that story, but even as you say it, I just have like,
I like get chills.
I just,
totally. All over.
Because you just see how much like you're surrendered to, okay, Lord, I don't know why. I have no idea why you might think I need this particular circumstance, but that his provision was very much like in line with something only he could do. You know, there was no doubt that only he could
Absolutely.
Do that.
Mm.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I'll never forget one of the songs that, came back to me during that time in the bathtub, literally. And my left ear was the one that had suffered the most. And I remember just holding onto this ear, and I had written a song ages ago. And it's after, you know, when in the scripture, they talked about the Hebrew slaves that they would have their ear pierced, like to say, I love my master and I will not go free. And I remember writing this song, I love my master, I will not go free. and holding that ear and just saying like, mm-hmm. Lord, whatever it is, whatever you choose, whatever the outcome, I trust you and I choose you. And I'm not going to choose to like, let this be an opportunity to run. And just, mm-hmm. I stay with you. I'm going to stick with you. And just the sweetest songs and even just moments with the Lord and intimacy, I mean, came from that time. So,
Christy, tell me, so, because I think a lot of times we think, okay, the Lord has me go through a trial or a specific circumstance so mm-hmm. that I can see exactly how he's going to have it all work out. And in this particular story, you might be like, oh, well, of course, Christy sees God as her provider when he healed her. And he sometimes answered, we're sitting there in that waiting going, well, Lord, I would know how to like trust you if you fix it. But what you just described was sitting there and saying, I'm giving you my heart, God, you have my heart, even if I don't get exactly what I think is the right way this whole thing should turn out. So tell me a little bit about how you met him. Like what is, because I think that's the thing, that's the nut that I'm always trying to crack. And Pilgrim is a devotional, but I try to tiptoe into this conversation of like, at the end of the day, we keep looking for fixes and solutions and the signs that will tell us where to go, but he really wants us to look at him. That's he wants us to see his heart. Mm-hmm. And even before we get to where we're going or we figure out how to navigate the windy path we're on, he's actually wooing us to himself. And I know that's what you've discovered too. And can you share a little bit about how you met him even when the answer wasn't clear?
Yeah. Well, I think about, you know, just, I think there's so much that he loves about our dependency upon him. I mean, I think it's the posture he loves the most. And I think it really was in that of just that surrender. And I always say like surrender plus trust equals rest. And and even in that moment where like you don't know what the the outcome's going to be. And you know, it's pretty wild when I think about, I moved from that, you know, the hearing loss with maybe a season of consolation in between, but like straight into another really hard season in 20 and 21. My mom was diagnosed with cancer. Of course, the whole world was, you know, we were all on lockdown crazy during that. And then I really personally went through, and this is really where, you know, you were talking about, This Is the Hour, the album, where this was all birth, was just, it truly was another kind of, just a spiritual and just really emotional roller coaster for me during that time. My kids were going through some stuff. It just felt like everything on every side, I was discouraged. And I remember during that time we went and led at a church, and there was a guy that was helping there. He was actually kind of the stage manager, and he had on, you know, his headset, and they were very well organized, and he was moving us from the green room to the different, I think we did like 4 or 5 services. And he could, I don't know, the Lord, he just was a messenger, I think. And, you know, you think, oh, he's just locked into his job. He's showing us where to stand and where to go. He's bringing us our food, whatever. But man, at the end of the day, like, before we were going home, and he had heard me share, you know, from the stage about my mom, and just had, I was, you know, sharing between songs, and he just came up and he said, you know, I just want to encourage you about where you are. And he said, especially your mom. And he began to share, just long story short, that he and his wife had been going through infertility. And, he said, we're finally, after like 7 years, we're finally having our first baby. And he was like, we are just overjoyed. But he was like, at the same time, he said, what he really showed me though, what he's shown us. And he was like, and this is just the best part. He's like, while we are so elated to be having a child, he was like, we are so grateful beyond words that he showed us that it's really that his presence with us is the outcome. Like it is what we need. It is what we long for. And he's like, so whatever happens with your mom, he was like, the real joy and the real beauty will just, I pray that he shows you that It's that he's with you. It's like his withness with you. And I think when I look back on the hearing loss, I look back on just that really hard, just almost felt like a spiritual desert for me right before the songs came. That is what the Lord wanted me to see. I had this moment with him on the porch where he just brought me back to where I felt like those days when I was seven and I was first just knowing he was with me, and really showed me, like, Christy, it's, I know you want, you know, this for your kids. I know you want this for your mom. Yeah. I know you want this for yourself. But it really was that I met him at his withness with us, and just realized, like, it just, I don't know why it felt like such a massive epiphany, but it was like, oh, I mean, and you think about how that lines up with scripture, like all the way back to like the Israelites. And then even just the fact that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, and the whole journey is like his withness with us. Like, that is the prize. Like, that's the treasure. And so I really do feel like when I've looked back on those moments, and I think that's something we can hold to, right? Even when the answer's no, right? And just being able to look back on it and know that he's with us, his withness is the treasure.
Yeah, I think so often we do look for that resolution, right? We want the answer, the fix, yes, like the end of the problem or the circumstance. Yes. And we want to skip the wrestling. Like,
yes,
let's just hurry up and get through this, like, angsty, emotional part. And Ruth is so fond of saying, like, but that's where we're being formed, right? Like, the wrestling is where we see his witness, and that is part of his provision. It's not just the answer. It's the process. If you've followed Grace Lace for very long, you know we're big fans of preaching truth to ourselves. Because what we say to ourselves about who God is and who we are is what we'll end up believing. Choosing to rehearse truth is the difference between seeing our situations as hopeful or hopeless. What better words to plant into our hearts and minds than the very word of God? What would it look like for you and I to memorize God's word? You might be thinking, wait, I'm no good at memorizing scripture. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Dwell Differently. Dwell is a company that helps you memorize one Bible verse each month. One verse becomes two verses, becomes three verses. And the next thing you know, you have a whole arsenal of verses stored up in your heart and mind. Words to combat your anxious thoughts in the middle of the night. Words to speak to your friend who's struggling. Words that transform your life. They're God's own words for you. Dwell is a monthly membership of Scripture Designs to help you and your family easily memorize God's word. Members receive a kit in their mailbox with temporary tattoos or stickers, a keychain, and a print featuring a unique way to memorize the verse. You can learn more at dwelldifferently.com. And if you use the code GRACELACED, you'll get your first month for free. So, as we've already talked about, hymns are a big part of this book. And I know you've already mentioned about songs kind of helping you in that wrestling, right? In the process, the Lord using songs to come back to your mind and to minister to you and to be a way that you kind of process through. So in Pilgrim, the chapter about God's provision is paired with the hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. And I hear you have a special story about this hymn and a song that you have written. Will you tell us about it?
Yes. Well, I do love hymns. And I've started singing on stage when I was about seven, because my dad was a pastor and my mom played the piano in our church. She would some Sundays be on, you know, the organ side of things. She'd play the pipe organ thing, and then the other side, she was on the piano. And my dad was a worship leader before he was a teaching pastor. And so I was really raised just loving putting melody to scripture, and hymns really are, you know, so much of that, of just a lot of theology and scripture being placed into melody. And so years ago when we were writing one time for a Passion album, my husband Nathan and I were a part of Passion conferences for about 20 years. And a lot of times that looked like Nathan producing those albums and us getting together probably the fall before the January conference to write with our friends at the time. Chris Tomlin was, we've been friends with him for a lot of years, and Matt Redman and a lot of other friends would gather in this little cabin. And we would often just spend 2 or 3 days together writing. And in the mornings we would, a lot of us, we would just lay down on our faces and just get on our knees and just pray that the Lord would bring songs for this generation, because that's what we were getting to do, was lead, it was collegiate ministry. And so how beautiful to get to be in front of the next generation. But I love it. Often we would go to hymns and we would go like, you know, how can we come around at least the spirit of an old hymn? And I remember one night, it was after we had written the whole day, and we had shared 3 meals together, and we were sitting around this farm table and we all had our Bibles. And we, I think it was Matt Marr that kind of said, what if we come around, I need thee every hour. And so we got the hymnal out, and that's when the song, Lord, I Need You, was born. And I love how, think about just, how sometimes at night it feels like the veil lifts. It's like the sun had gone down and it just felt like this veil had lifted. And we were just friends around a table, singing out truth. And I'll never forget, I don't remember all the, parts that I definitely wrote on, but I do remember one, and it was the beginning of the bridge where it says, teach my song to rise to you. Yes,
such a good bridge.
And then I think someone next to me just, they finished the line. It was like, when temptation comes my way. And really, it was almost like we went around the table.
Oh my
where it
goodness,
was like,
what I would give to be in that room to see.
We finished, like a fly. Each other's thought. It was just, it was really so beautiful. And then when we came back into the chorus after, we just felt like, oh, that's the bridge. It was like, Lord, I need you. And what was so sweet too, I'll never forget Matt Maher. I was the only girl at the table, and I kind of sheepishly was like, teach my song to rest. And I look over at him and he just like looks at me. And what I love about Matt is he'll just try on your idea like a coat, and he just sang out that line like in his baritone voice. And I had like those like emoji eyes, like full of tears. I was just like, okay. But it's just sweet, to like be friends in that moment, but to like come around something that is, so age old and make it new. But it also is so sweet, right? To just come back around like the hymnal of the church. It's representative of really the Psalms in a way, of how that was the hymnal of the early church. And we need these songs that connect us. And so, yes, I love, I need thee every hour. And I also love Lord, I Need You.
Well, you've written so many songs that I, like I said, have gone with me, have reminded me of the truth. And, in my like gushing how much I love you at the top of this podcast, I just have to tell you, I don't know if I said it specifically, but Christy, you're an unwavering Christ centered, like you are an unapologetic gospel lover and bearer of the good news. And I feel like you do it so beautifully where you're sharing the truth in such a clear way that is Christ exalting and points to the scripture, but you do it so with such invitation and hospitality and generosity that you end up being like enfolded with like this like comfort and love, and then you realize, oh, that's God's word to me. And so I just, when I think about the songs you write,
that's a great way to describe it, Ruth.
Right? I mean, it's like
it's like the warmth that comes from the gospel.
But the truth is not like a feeling, it's the truth. It's like, so I might be invited because Christy chooses to write music that feels so invitational, so intimate. But then once I'm listening to those words, because as you talk about even Lord, I Need You, and I can think of so many of your songwriting, different albums that you've written in. And I even said before we came on to this podcast that your new project, This Is the Hour, like I feel like it's a commissioning for me every day. Like every time I listen to it, I think, okay, this is a reminder of like who I belong to, who sends me, how I can keep on being faithful. And it never that I'm dependent on Christy's music. I'm dependent on the one she's pointing to. So yeah, thank you for that so much, friend.
Thank you for telling me that. So sweet.
Well, I mean, after that, we can't let you escape an episode without maybe singing a couple lines over us. So would you be willing to share with us?
Can you mash them? Bit? Can you mash?
on the fly? Maybe so.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you can do anything. Can you
mash up?
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Okay. You know, what's funny is I get them mixed up.
So they're like, how does I need the every hour
go? However the words come out will be perfect.
Right. Okay. I need the every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Yes, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you.
I love it so much.
I mixed them up. I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Yes, we come to
Christy, thank you.
So, yes, and amen.
Yes, and amen. Tears in my eyes because I genuinely needed to sing that. Thank you for loving our listeners so well.
I
have a feeling they will skip right to the end there and keep on listening to that over and over and over again. Christy, thank you. So, I love it. And I can see how it'd be really easy to do that. Tell our listeners to find you and what I want to know, like what you're working on. Do you have any projects we should be looking out for?
Yes. Well, right now, you can find me, of course, at ChristyKnockels.com. That's N-O-C-K-E-L-S. I always tell people, not L-E-S, it's E-L-S. But yeah, and I'm on Instagram at ChristyKnockels. But yeah, so we are actually just, we just released This Is the Hour in February, but we're working on just kind of maybe releasing some sort of like alternate versions of those, which I think will be really fun. Nathan's kind of working on that. And in fact, Nathan, my husband, just released a gorgeous instrumental called Everywhere the River Goes. So if you want to like have something for your quiet time, like you're reading scripture, taking a walk, and I'm actually getting him to go ahead and start on another one because I've been listening to it every day. But we're just in a season where we're actually praying about, you know, what is next as far as, you know, more music, but there will be more music, maybe even before the end of the year.
Goodness,
and so maybe even a hymn too. We'll see. There's something in the works for that. Goodness.
Thank you, friend. This has been a joy. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. We hope it's been an encouragement to your soul, regardless of where your pilgrim journey finds you today. If you find this podcast enjoyable, we would be so honored if you would take a minute to rate the show and leave a review on whatever platform you use to listen. And if you haven't already, grab a copy of Pilgrim, now available wherever books are sold. Learn more at pilgrimbook.com.